Growing up in Pollock, a disadvantaged suburb of Glasgow, Darren McGarvey developed the hypervigilance of a soldier in combat. Violence erupted without warning, poverty was endemic, and his alcoholic mother's unpredictable behavior taught him that retreat wasn't an option. While other children focused on learning and play, McGarvey constantly scanned for threats, calculated escape routes, and prepared defenses. This survival mechanism, though necessary in his environment, would later become a burden, making normal social interactions nearly impossible without alcohol's numbing effects. In this violent ecosystem, fear of humiliation governed behavior more powerfully than physical pain. Young men would rather suffer broken bones than appear weak. McGarvey recalls a pivotal moment when he complimented a girl's hair, saying, "They're fucking beautiful." Using beautiful rather than nice violated the neighborhood's unspoken code, immediately labeling him gay. Not for sexual connotations, but because expressing genuine appreciation broke social rules. In places like Pollock, acknowledging beauty could be seen as a radical act, and displaying intelligence often invited violence rather than respect. McGarvey felt profoundly alienated during visits to Glasgow's affluent West End. The threat-free streets, relaxed public spaces, an atmosphere of calm possibility seemed foreign, like an alien landscape that constantly reinforced his outsider status. "Being angry was almost cultural where I grew up," McGarvey explains. "Not being angry was almost taboo." This collective anger targeted the middle class as the perfect enemy, visible yet distant, influential yet seemingly oblivious. The resentment wasn't merely about material differences, but about dignity and respect. Glasgow's tower blocks exemplify failed social engineering. These streets in the sky, designed with utopian ambitions, were created without consulting their future inhabitants. Within two decades, many faced demolition, while thousands of families endured terrible conditions. The local economy adapted by offering temporary relief through liquor stores, betting shops, and drug dealers. As conditions deteriorated, residents lost faith in institutions and the possibility of improvement. In 2016, McGarvey witnessed Norfolk Court's last tower being demolished, once celebrated as revolutionary public housing. As the structure crumbled to audience applause, he understood why many had internalized the belief that their neighborhood was a dumping ground never meant to improve. McGarvey's mother died when he was 17, after years of alcoholism and abuse. He recalls the moment with disturbing clarity, his sister's agonizing scream, his own unsettling calmness, and relief that the ongoing soap opera had ended. At her funeral, he joked with guests but broke down when the hearse arrived. His childhood was defined by trauma. His mother dabbled with fire, and once, after severely injuring his thumb, he found her drunk in a neighbor's apartment, indifferent to his pain. Frightening events, men threatening his mother, hemorrhages, children tied to chairs, seemed strangely normal in his world. In a library, McGarvey contrasts two 10-year-old girls. One, poorly made up from a difficult environment, mentions her violent father is in prison and reacts fearfully to loud noises. The other, from wealthy Bearsden, cries because she misses her mother, absent for just 20 minutes. These reactions reveal different baseline expectations. One expects danger, the other safety. Early trauma distorts perception, creating self-fulfilling prophecies. This inequality manifests physically in some Glasgow neighborhoods, where male life expectancy plummets to 54 years, worse than in war-torn countries. Chronic stress, poor nutrition, and substance abuse combine to create health outcomes that mirror social divisions. Initially welcomed by the BBC and charitable organizations as a success story, McGarvey lived a schizophrenic existence. Homeless, with addiction issues one day, respected radio presenter the next. He noticed audiences wanted only his trauma stories, but lost interest when he developed deeper critiques about poverty's structural causes. When questioning power structures, he was labeled pseudo-intellectual, arrogant, and dangerous. McGarvey compares this to a poverty safari, where outsiders extract useful data from poor communities before returning to their enclaves. Local organizations must constantly redefine their mission based on political trends while competing with larger institutions that lack real understanding. Despite his own social mobility, McGarvey admits class prejudice persists within him. He still feels irritated by markers of privilege, whether pronunciation, mentions of private education, or specific clothing brands, revealing how deeply class divisions become internalized. McGarvey's addiction journey shows how substances offered escape from his anxiety-plagued mind. The hypervigilance that protected him as a child became an unbearable adult burden, with drugs providing immediate chemical sanctuary. His descent was rapid. Within a week of first trying ecstasy, he took dangerous risks, bringing substances into a prison where he counseled youth, hiding vodka in office bathrooms, and missing his grandmother's final moments while drinking. Through self-reflection, McGarvey recognized his addiction stemmed not just from childhood trauma, but from selfishness. His fixation on personal suffering created a self-reinforcing victimhood cycle. This insight marked the beginning of recovery, understanding that while systemic forces shape our lives, our responses remain our responsibility. In disadvantaged areas where gossip is currency, McGarvey coped by preemptively joking about his dysfunctional family, transforming trauma into creative fuel for his writing, which became a way to purify himself by vomiting everything onto whoever would listen. Despite poverty's bleakness, McGarvey finds unexpected hope in marginalized communities' resilience. Food banks have evolved into vital community centers. In Castle Milk, once synonymous with crime, resident Kathy Milligan founded Castle Milk Against Austerity. Her effectiveness comes from being a trusted community member who understands local struggles. The main cause of racism is austerity, Kathy argues. It triggers a war among the poor. CAA runs food programs, anti-racism campaigns, and school workshops while bypassing traditional political approaches. For this community, national debates about Trump or Brexit distract from immediate survival needs. McGarvey's journey from addiction to activism offers a roadmap for genuine social change. By acknowledging both systemic injustice and personal agency, he creates space for a politics that honors lived experience while refusing victimhood. His poverty safari reveals that meaningful transformation begins within communities themselves, through individuals who refuse to surrender to circumstances, a bottom-up approach building on existing community strengths. Housing projects often fail because designers create for theoretical rather than real people with complex needs and established community patterns. This disconnect goes beyond economics. It represents fundamental differences in worldview, language, and trust. McGarvey uses Scottish food culture as an example, where sugar addictions formed before health risks were understood, with poverty's impact measurable in reduced life expectancy. Even after achieving social mobility, psychological barriers remain. McGarvey's discomfort in middle-class settings reveals how deeply internalized class divisions become, creating invisible barriers that persist beyond economic changes. These internalized divisions explain why policy interventions without community input typically fail. They don't account for poverty's complex emotional and psychological dimensions. Progress requires recognizing both structural inequalities and personal agency, developing approaches that honor lived experience while empowering individuals. Communities should be treated as places where real people live, not merely problems to solve.